and welcome to the Geek Night In, episode one. Not the previous episode, that was a pilot. This is episode one, hooray. Who have we got this week? We've got Gemma Thompson.
Hello.
We've got Tilly this week.
Hello.
And we've got Kate again.
Hello.
We don't have Byron this week because unfortunately he's got a really bad migraine, so he won't be joining us this week, but... Everyone, let's go around. What have you been up to? What have you been excited by this week? What's happened? Gemma, go.
I've just gotten back from a flight, so I'm a little bit out of it. So thank you for calling on me first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. I've actually been geeking out about the journey, I suppose. I can't lie. It's more tubes and planes and airports are fascinating things to me. This week, mostly been absorbing a whole lot of internet, particularly around the Sonic Boom stuff, which has been going on, and also trying to get moving on some of my own projects, game design-y things. Nothing
Brilliant.
Particularly specific and interesting.
All sorts of just general geeky things.
Yes, yeah.
Right. Tilly, what have you been up to this week? What are your geeky things of the week?
Well... Mostly I've been essay writing, so I haven't had much time to do geeky things. Well, I've been obsessively playing Animal Crossing, the New Leaf one.
So much so that all of the characters have started telling you to eat more food and to play less video games?
Yeah, well, one of them anyway. The penguin told me that I went and spoke to the penguin, and the penguin was like, you should probably take a break. Have you thought about eating something? And I was like, don't tell
Out
me what
context.
To do, penguin.
That sounds so weird. I spoke to the penguin and the penguin told me to eat something.
Yeah, I get the same thing from Zelda.
Drugs, I promise it was a video game, okay?
Okay.
The same thing from Zelda, given that the save cuckoo does the same thing. Yeah.
Oh, goodness, yes. It's like, you've been playing for too long. Are you sure you don't want to take a break? You've been playing for like a whole 10 minutes. the other person we've got on is Kate. What have you been up to this week? What geeky things have been on your radar and stuff?
Well, luckily for me, and I know it's similar with other people, my work is super nerdy and I've been doing a lot of work this week as my site, The Geek Agenda, launches on Friday. Yay!
Hooray!
So I'm quite excited about that. We've got a launch party on the 14th on Friday in London.
I was going to say, I should probably start writing some stuff because I'm supposed to be writing for you and I don't think I've sent you anything yet, so.
Well, I've been like, it's weird because I'm sending out feature commissions and I'm getting stuff back, and because I used to edit when TJ was under Hi Magazine, and it's so different, the stuff that I've been getting in, and it's really, really exciting for me to be able to edit stuff where I'm not just editing, you know, regular articles. I'm thinking, oh, this is amazing. I'm really excited to read this as well as edit it. Well, so that's kind of different for me. But we have a party on Friday, which everyone is invited to, in London. It's in a place called Loading Bar, which is about 10 minutes. Well, 10 minutes if you walk really slowly from Leicester Square.
It's the really geeky gaming bar that, like, all of
really
the
nice.
Lots of gaming events happen in there.
It's a really cool place, and yeah. It's the first place I met Laura, so one day there will be a blue plaque outside saying that, I'm sure. But there's people coming in cosplay. I'm cosplaying as Boudicca.
Hooray. Do you want to tell listeners that don't know what Boudicca is about your cosplay?
Well, it's like, I guess it's a geeky cosplay. It's kind of a history geek cosplay. Boudicca was the queen of the Iceni tribe, and she's kick-ass as hell. Basically, she was like... chilling in Essex, and then her husband Prasutagus died, and Prasutagus was matey with the Romans, and the Romans were like, oh, now we're going to take your kingdom because you're a woman and it's ours. And she was like, no, and they beat her up and did horrible things. So she killed like 40,000 Romans in London and like razed London to the ground. And she did die, but like, you know, she killed lots of people and she's really cool. And she had long red hair and I have long red hair, so I'm dressing up as her.
On that note, I should probably introduce myself. I realised I forgot to do that. Hi, I'm Laura. I have spent this week writing an article for The Telegraph about video games and autism and things, which I think is going to be really cool. And I've been making my own video game, and that's really cool because some people have started giving me voices for it, and that's really exciting. So, and I might be I can't talk about this really yet, but I might be helping write on someone's game, which is kind of exciting. So, woo!
So, tell us about your video game.
I'm making a video game. It's called You Are the Reason, and it's about this person who's born in a world where magic is generally only used by evil, evil people. And she finds out she can use magic, and understandably is very sort of hesitant to tell anyone. She gets found out, and basically it's the story of her going off into the world to escape her pursuers and try and prove that she can do something good with her life. And it's a game, and I've got this guy called Jim Sterling, who's like a really big video game reviewer person. He's doing some voices in it, and I'm really excited about that.
Oh, that's cool. Yay, that is exciting.
So, hooray, that was my week. But, okay, where do we want to start on topics this week? I think, Kate, you had something to bring up first?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that's been happening in Marvel Filmverse. Supposedly, Latino Review reported that Paul Bettany is going to be the Vision in Avengers 2. Paul Bettany played, or voices, Jarvis in the Iron Man films. Apparently he's never seen any of the Iron Man films. He turns up, does his voice, and then leaves. So now he's actually going to be in a film. But Miss Marvel, not current Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, but Miss Marvel Carol Danvers, who in comics is now styled as Captain Marvel, is allegedly going to be in Avengers 2. So that's very exciting because she's quite a big character. She's my favourite comic book character. And hopefully one of the people that's touted to play her is Katie Sackhoff, who was in Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, Fangirl Squee.
Yes. So that's always who I've wanted to play her. I mean, there's links up and everything. It's being reported. Do not read the comments on these articles. There are horrible things saying how Katie Sackhoff is too ugly and to play her, and how they shouldn't have her in, and Black Widow should die in the next. It's horrible. It's awful. And just all these like white guys basically saying, no, we don't want women in our things. This is for us. So, but it's really exciting. And that's basically what it is.
That's fine. I was just going to say, on the positives, more women in the Avengers. I'm not going to complain about that. Mm-hmm. That's not going to bother me.
We've got, I mean, Wonder Woman, obviously in DC verse, Wonder Woman is allegedly going to have her own solo movie, finally, with Gal Gadot playing her. But on the flip side, obviously it's not Marvel Cinematic Universe, but with the Fox Marvel X-Men thing, Rogue, who's played by, oh my God, who is she played by? Someone tell me who plays Rogue in X-Men.
I don't
know. She's in True Blood.
Oh, yeah.
What is her name? Oh my God, this is her one.
That's fine. I will tell you that I'm going to edit that in and then I won't, so you know.
No, I need to find out who plays her.
Right, go on. I'll go find it out for you.
Is it? No, it's not Anna Marie.
That's the name of the character.
Yeah.
Oh, what is her name? What's her name? X-Men actress.
Talk about other things.
Anna Paquin. Oh my God. Anna Paquin, who plays Rogue, filmed like one scene for the new X-Men film and hasn't been cut out of it. She's not in it at all, which kind of sucks. And supposedly the character who's played by the girl who played Juno, Ellen Page. As you can see, I'm really good with names.
You're better with names than I am.
But the Days of Future Past storyline was supposed to be about her character, and I don't think she's going to be in it that much. So we've got good things for women and diversity in Marvel, and then not good things for women and diversity in Marvel at the same time.
Sorry, Tilly has just sent me a picture. Why did you send me this during the podcast? It's a disgusting picture of a rat. And
no, it's not a rat, it's a possum.
Okay, it's a possum, and it's like a Valentine's Day card, and it says, let's eat trash and get hit by a car.
Wow, romance.
I just thought you might enjoy it. And anyway, your Facebook says you're offline, so, you know.
Well, you said something.
I didn't think you'd get it till after the podcast.
No, if you send me something, I'm going to get it now, and it's gonna make the air.
Excellent. I'm going to keep sending you things.
Anyway, while we're talking to you and about you, you read a book this week, Tilly.
I did. I read The Book Thief by accident.
By accident? How was it by accident?
Whoops! It just fell open on my lap.
Essentially, yeah, I meant to save it because I've got a couple of really long train trips coming up this week, so I meant to save it for that, and then I accidentally read it. So
Do you want to just tell us what you thought of the book, Dave?
No, oh, I had to put it in the tumble dryer.
For anyone that doesn't know, this is the thing Tilly does where if she doesn't like something, she shuts it in like the freezer or the tumble dryer. She's like, nope, not
like
dealing
Joey
with it.
Like Joey and Friends.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. With Little Women and he puts it in the freezer. No, yeah. I put mine in the tumble dryer.
Or you put it down the back of the cupboard where you can't get to it when you then want to get it back out.
I never want to get that back out, to be fair. That can stay there forever.
Please don't ever do that with people.
Oh,
there are certain people I'd like to put down the back of my cupboard. Let's put it.
It's fine. If you're gonna put them anywhere, put them in the tumble dryer. That will probably get rid of them more effectively.
This has gone dark.
Or the freezer. Freezer would work.
Literature is dark.
The book itself is dark. The book thief. That's the book that punches
people. The subject matter is pretty dark. I mean, have we ever had a cheerful book about Nazi Germany?
No, that's true.
That book is a bit of a punch in the feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to put it in the tumble dryer because every time I looked at it, I started crying again. I was like, no, I need to go to sleep. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. This can't keep happening.
I don't know if we want to talk spoilers or not, or whether we just want to say this
it's
is a really
book it's about a really, Nazi Germany. You can't spoil it.
Really is only one ending to that.
Mm.
Well, there can be books set in Nazi Germany where okay, you know what I mean. But yeah. It's a good book. It's basically. Do you want to like summarize a little bit of the plot for people that don't know about it?
It's about a girl who she's given to foster parents at the beginning of the book because her father is a communist, so her family is under threat. So her mother gives her to this foster family, and it's I think it's about 5 years it's set over, and. She steals books to kind of, keep herself happy, and they shelter a Jewish person in their basement. And then, then they start bombing and it's really sad.
And death is kind of a personified character
in
the book,
yeah,
which
death,
is...
Yeah, it's narrated by death.
Yeah, which is, it's a really interesting, it's used to a really interesting effect, the fact it's narrated by death. But it's also used to punch people in the feelings.
Yeah, no, it's out.
Yeah.
I mean, this goes out on Tuesday, yes?
Yeah, this goes out.
Okay, because there's an embargo on the film, so I think I can talk about it, though. I watched the film last week, and I haven't read the book yet. And I will say that, I mean, Death was a narrator in the book, in the film as well. And the film was really good, but it didn't make me want to read the book.
Oh, really?
I don't know why. It was just kind of like, oh, that looks sad. I don't want those sad feelings.
Going back to like what we were discussing last week about, is that, do you say that because it's good as a film? Or?
It was good as a film. I mean, I don't really know who the book is aimed at, but the film, it felt, I mean, it's weird. It felt Christmassy. Is that weird?
Christmassy.
It felt like something they would show at Christmas. It was a very family film. It wasn't, like, I mean, if you think about stuff like The Boy in Striped Pyjamas that deals with similar themes, it didn't deal with it in such a sad way.
The book does.
Yeah, it was sad, but I don't know. I feel like it wasn't mind-blowing as a film. I think it will be a very good adaptation, but I think maybe, having not read the book, they stayed very true to the book and as a result didn't actually do much different in terms of what you can do with film and cinema.
I'm now just thinking that the book might be more worth reading. The film might be worth watching more just because it might be a little less soul-crushing.
Yeah, I think maybe it would be better, especially if you're trying to introduce children to slightly... I mean,
you're going to show children a story about the Holocaust.
Well, I was like, I mean, a lot of my family are Jewish, just as an aside, you don't have to put this in the pod, but a lot of my family are Jewish, and I was like 10, I think, when I went to the Holocaust Museum in Imperial War Museum, and you have to be like 14 to go there, and I was like, why was I taken this young? It was horrible. What the hell?
The Holocaust is generally pretty upsetting and horrible,
but I was, like, really
not
young,
a nice thing.
Told about it, so I don't know. I think if you were going to talk to kids about, not, you know, if your children came home and were like, oh, what, you know, who's Hitler, what's Nazi Germany, it's, I think it's quite a a non-soul-destroying, non-scary way of looking at it. But it looks at, it's still, I think, it's very human, but I think it lacks the sort of political message it maybe could have had. But having not read the book, I don't know.
No, I think the book definitely has the more kind of political message. I mean, I read, what was it, recently as well, Two Brothers, I think, by Ben Elton, which is also about, you know, two boys who live in Nazi Germany. And that the political message in that was just, it beats you around the face with it, you know. It's like every other sentence is, and Nazis were bad. And it's like, okay, I know that, you know. I don't agree with the Nazis. I think everyone knows the Nazis were bad. Can we get on with the story now?
Yeah.
Yes, but we've got to remind you that the Nazis were not only bad, they were also bad.
They were really, really bad.
They were like the worst.
I think one of the most interesting things, I mean, obviously we're of a generation where people remember World War II and our children won't be, which is kind of weird. You know, we're that last generation. And it's interesting to look at how media reflects something that was so horrible and that was such a lack of humanity. And you have films like the book that you've looked at from a very political way, the film did, at least. And then a film I was talking to somebody about earlier, When Day Breaks, doesn't talk about the Holocaust as it was. It talks about the future and the legacy and the memory of it. So like you're talking about, it's interesting that you say, you know, we know Nazis were bad, but how our culture has reacted to such an awful thing is really telling of whether we've learnt or not.
I find it interesting as well. I mean, it's possibly a slight distraction, but most of my exposure to Holocaust media tends to be the, like, I saw Animal Farm surprisingly young, and also Mouse. And in both instances, you've actually got analogies drawn to animals, which always seemed like an interesting way to approach it.
I've never really thought about the implications of that with Animal Farm, but that is very interesting, actually.
And it's played to interesting effect in Mouse, because you have it's caused problems and controversies, given that they represent, I think, the Jews as mice, the Germans as they're pigs and other animal characters. And basically, if you have an undercover character, you can clearly see that it's like a pig with a dog mask on or something like that. And it all gets taken bluntly. It makes good sense, and it's an interesting way to tell the story. But there have been accusations that it puts analogy too far in the wrong direction, kind of thing. And it's never quite as black and white as you're a completely different species to me, sort of thing.
It's a difficult thing to do. I don't know what's the right way to handle something like that.
But I think it's interesting that there are so many different ways to handle it as well. There is no right way, but then you've got ones looking at, you know, what, you know, you've got, I mean, there's been films made about Anne Frank and TV stuff made about Anne Frank, and it's looking at from all these different aspects, and it's probably one of the most significant things that has happened to our generation and how we've looked back on it. And there's people talking about it in terms of animals, and there's people talking about it in terms of books. And I think it's really interesting to see that we've all got these different experiences of how we learn about such a significant event through the media.
I will say there is one wrong way to deal with something like that, which is if you go to the Anne Frank Museum, do not write in the book that you think that that she would have been a fan of yours. That's not the right way to go about it.
No, that's probably not the best.
I'm not pointing fingers at any one specific Justin Bieber, but, you know, that might not be the best way to go around it.
Yeah.
I can't help but feel like we've gone down a bit of a dark path. Let's brighten things up a bit and take, like, a sharp U-turn to, like, the furthest thing from the Holocaust we can. Gemma, Sonic Boom, a new Sonic video game and TV series. Talk to us.
Yes. I should start by saying that Sonic is my fandom, most of all, kind of thing. It's like I grew up on the internet through Sonic forums and things like this. Fan art got me into games, all that sort of thing. But I've been a lapsed fan ever since Werehog. I've not actually played Sonic Unleashed, but as soon as I saw character art for that, then
you're not a fan of the weird Sonics where they do all the gimmicks where it's like Sonic, he transforms into a werehedgehog and he has a sword and a suit of armor and he can explode into rainbows of power and all sorts
of
weird
things.
I've
never played Sonic the Hedgehog ever.
Here's my thoughts on Sonic the Hedgehog. It's a game about running really fast. that the level design doesn't encourage you running really fast, because it lets you have like big open spaces to run really fast, and then it puts like a big wall of spikes in front of you, so you run into a big wall of spikes and slow down.
As an
aside, it's like, oh, I got punished for running fast.
Yeah. One of my favourite games in the Sonic series is actually Sonic Chronicles The Dark Brotherhood, which is the RPG that BioWare made. I actually think it's really good.
I've heard really good things about that one. Yeah. Where it's all story-based and you're going on an adventure rather than, hey, run fast. Don't hit the spikes.
If I wanted to play a Sonic game, like just as somebody who's never played a Sonic game, what would you recommend, Gemma?
Sonic the Hedgehog 2. It's emulated on so many platforms now, but you can get it in like Sonic Mega Collection, Sonic...
Cool. I will try that.
Yeah, the original... not original. The original Sonic game is good, but Sonic 2 is faster, it has better graphics, it's got Tails. It's brilliant.
Tails!
Yes.
Tails is like a weird fox thing that has multiple tails, and he can jump and then spin the tails around and be like a helicopter and fly around places.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, so I was a huge fan, and I'm not like a Mega Drive purist or anything. I loved Sonic Adventure 2 is still one of my all-time favourite games, for reasons I don't quite understand, but I don't choose to dissect it.
Yeah. However, but anyway, they announced a new Sonic, which they redesigned the character, and there's a game and a TV show and things. And,
and despite the fact they got turned off by the Werehog and stuff, I don't think this is looking that bad. Hello?
Sorry, Gemma.
I am here. Hello.
Do either of you, as a slight side note, remember an old song called "Grandma, We Love You"?
Yeah.
Grandma, we love you.
Yeah.
It was on. It used to be on Brainiac Science Abuse.
I'm thinking we need to sing it to get Gemma back. Gemma, we love you.
Grandma.
Oh, we've brought you back.
Yes.
Magic.
Yes. Anyway, Gemma. We've stalled for long enough. What do you think of Sonic Boom?
Sorry, yeah. Despite having been turned off by the new stuff of the Werehog and things, I don't think this is looking all that bad. And initially I went through a period of shock because Knuckles, and actually just staring at a picture of the character right here, I noticed they've also recolored Sonic's arms now, which is
I can't tell if they've recovered his arms or if he's just wearing sleeves, maybe.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Because if people haven't seen the images, basically Sonic has got a scarf now. They're all wrapped in bandages, sort of athletic strips, which kind of make them look like Knuckles has, in particular, has been hospitalized. I don't know. But
Knuckles looks like he's been on steroids because he's about... he's like a third taller than the rest of the characters and hugely muscular now. Amy, the female character, has been basically feminized as much as they could.
Yeah,
she's like doing the most feminine pose possible.
Well, her dress has been somewhat narrowed now, though. She's a bit more active looking.
Yeah, there is that as a positive. I don't know. The thing I was excited about, I don't know whether you agree with me on this, is that like I read some summaries of some of the episode things that they've got coming up, and like it seems quite promising as a like character driven property now. Just because like they were one of the episode summaries was something like, Tails gets fired by Sonic as his sidekick, and Dr. Eggman, or Dr. Robotnik, or whatever he's called these days, goes to try and get the job of Sonic's assistant, or Sonic's sidekick. And, like, it sounds like they have some quite interesting, like, children's TV plots, but some fairly interesting
That's
stuff.
That's a real world problem, characters. To be honest.
That is a real world problem.
I hate it when my sidekicks, like, let me down.
Yeah, and you have to hire your nemesis to replace
them.
Even just on that basis alone, this sounds like a vast improvement over Sonic X, which I've watched extensively, but only because it's Sonic. It's really not got much meat to it.
This is the thing, is it sounds like they have interesting ideas for what to do with the characters, which gives me a lot of hope for the games, you know, having less of a, oh, Sonic's a werewolf kind of stories.
Yeah. The problem as well has been that I liked Big and Gamma enough in Sonic Adventure, but every game since then, they've tended to add a brand new character. So they've had, like, Silver the Hedgehog pop up in, I think that was Shadow the Hedgehog, wasn't it? And just a new character is introduced every game in order to try and inject something new, and it's not worked.
Yes. Shadow the Hedgehog is the epiphany of that. That was basically where they take the character Sonic the Hedgehog, they make a black version of him, give him a motorbike and guns, and they're like, hey, drive around and shoot things as a hedgehog. and it didn't make much sense.
Yeah. Well, technically, Shadow
that
was
would make a very
Sonic
good
Adventure
standalone game.
As a a catalyst for the story in which Sonic is accused of a crime and things, but I'll let that go.
Okay, right. What do we want to talk about next? Let's have a look. Has anyone got anything, or should I look
Theme
through
hospital.
Our list?
Theme hospital.
What is that? Tell us words, things.
Oh my god. Okay.
Talk to us about the stuff.
It's a game, and it's kind of related to Sonic the Hedgehog, because it's a game like from childhood. It came out in like 1994 or something, and I've been looking for like a copy of it for like forever. And I managed to find a copy of it for about £5 of Theme Hospital. And basically, you have to run a hospital. And it's very 90s, and the music is amazing. And I've been playing it religiously all week. And I finally got past the level that could always beat me when I was a kid. And you have to, like, you build a hospital, and you have to hire all the hospital staff. But it's the whole thing is really, really tongue-in-cheek. Like, if the staff want a raise, they'll say, give me a raise, or I'll go and become a games producer. And, like, Like, all the conditions are ridiculous. There's a condition
about
bloaty
head. Yeah, bloaty head, yeah.
Yeah, have you played it? Have you played it?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the...
Oh, yes.
It's, like, the first... game of its type that I played, and Bullfrog are just genii at doing this thing. Yeah.
I loved it, and I'm just so pleased that I found it, because I mean, like I've said with Laura a few times, I think, to be honest, meeting you, Laura, and obviously doing stuff like this has got me a lot more into games than I ever would be.
Hooray! And, I have been successful.
Like, obviously, because when I started the Geek Agenda, I was like, oh, I'll have to learn about games, but you know, I'm not really that excited about it. And now it's like, oh my god, games, everything is games. So I'm really enjoying some games from my past, and you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, I'm looking at games that are coming out sort of now and being like, yes, I would play that. And you know, I don't really have a games console. I tend to do stuff all on my Mac, but I don't know, it's just interesting for me that games have changed a lot, but then ones from the past are still absolutely freaking awesome. Mm.
What one game from the past I really want to play, and the problem I have is finding the correct version and then a computer that can run that version, and you will probably back me up on this, Tilly. The Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Specifically the version that had all like the cartoon cutscenes and things, which was for Windows XP, I think it was, or Windows 98 possibly, but I have the disc, but I don't have a PC that can run this disc, and I'm really struggling to get it to run because it was my favourite game as a kid, and I loved it.
See, I'd only just recently discovered it, because I think I was tweeting at you at the time, I can't remember who mentioned Carmen Sandiego, but then I decided, I'll look that up on Wikipedia because I've heard of this thing, and discovering that it's a protagonist who wears a fedora and sets puzzles around the world, and it's just like,
does she not wear the fruit on her?
I don't remember her wearing fruit.
No, Carmen Sandiego wears a cool fedora and a
she'll steal coat. Things like, she'll just be like, yeah, I stole the Eiffel Tower, what are you gonna do?
I just thought, I want to be this person.
Is she the only person who can legitimately look cool wearing fedoras now?
she wears a very cool red fedora with like a red
trench
coat.
I wear a fedora, I'll have you know.
Well, I think we can get away with it.
Yes. She pulls off the red trench coat and fedora look very well.
I want to cosplay Carmen Sandiego someday.
Come to the Geek Agenda launch party and cosplay Carmen Sandiego.
I can't. I'll be back in Sweden.
Well, you know what we'll have to say then? Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? And the answer will be Sweden.
That's pretty.
Well done.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was good. I enjoyed that.
Thank you. The award for best joke of the podcast, I think we've got to award it there. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I miss Carmen Sandiego. Like, that was, like, the good days of edutainment games. Game stuff. I'm just taking really awkward segues here. I have a games thing to talk about. Flappy Birds, and I feel really bad for the person who made it, and
I don't know what Flappy Birds is.
Okay, Flappy Birds is a game for the iPhone that no longer exists. It came out like 2 weeks ago, and
well, it seems like I've missed this boat there.
Yeah, the whole point of the game was basically you've got to move from the left to the right to the screen, going between some pipes that go from the ceiling and the floor, and you like tap the screen to make your bird flap, and then when you stop tapping, it goes a bit like a cannonball and just falls straight down.
So it's kind of like the helicopter game.
It's very much like the helicopter game. You slowly go up or very quickly go down. And
such is life.
Yeah. No, and it was a fun game, and loads of people were playing it, and there was a website called Kotaku that wrote an article about it, where they basically said, hey, the pipes in this game look like the pipes in Mario. We think you stole them from Mario. And the internet then got very angry at the person who made the game.
Like, well, so unlike them.
Basically,
the internet's usually so rational.
Oh, I know. Basically, they're not stolen from Mario, but they're similar looking, and it's one of those, like, Nintendo doesn't own copyright on green pipes, but
yeah,
this article made
Mario not arguably steal them from, you know, life? Did Sonic steal hedgehogs?
Exactly, but basically, he got lots and lots of hate on the internet for this, with people being like, oh, you're going to get sued by Nintendo, and oh, how dare you make $50,000 a day off of stolen artwork in your game, and blah, blah, blah. And he turned around yesterday, I think it was, the day before we recorded this, so like Saturday night, and just said, look, I'm making a fortune off this game, but it's not worth it. I'm deleting the game. I'm getting rid of it. In 24 hours, this game will be off of the internet and you won't be able to get it anymore. I love this little game. It's been a success and loads of people love it, but it's just not worth it. This game has ruined my life. I don't want anything to do with it anymore.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's going. And he did what he said, and today he took the game off the internet and you can't get it on the iPhone anymore. And like, if you downloaded the game before he deleted it, you still have it, but you can never download it again anymore. And it's really sad, just because it's this person who, he made the game in like 2 days, and it's this really simple game that everyone loved, and he was making a fortune off of having made something that people loved. But unfortunately, because some people were like, you did something similar, and the internet kind of went crazy at him, and he had to stop doing what he loved, which is really sad. So
I think it's very telling that millions of people will get angry about that, yet like not enough people were angry about, I don't know, like the Olympics in Russia and the way Russia treats people. You know, people, they'll get really angry about that, but they won't get angry about stuff that's maybe a little bit more important.
Getting angry about important things is hard.
It is hard, and you know, I think lots of people on the internet are quite lazy.
Can I ask, did you break something, Tilly?
No, since you mentioned it, I'm playing the helicopter game.
Are we not interesting enough for you to just give us all your attention?
No, it's not that. It's, you know, I mentioned it and I hadn't thought about it in ages, and I used to be really good at it. Like, I used to be able to get like over 1,000. So I was like, oh, I wonder if I can still do that.
Are you still good at it?
No, I can't.
Oh,
I just got 204, but
I am here, but I'm also crocheting a blanket, so
that's fine. I'll give this podcast my full attention and, you know, steer us to news topics. Yeah, I'll be a host. Yeah, look at me.
Yeah, exactly. You're the host. I just have to sit here, drink wine, and crochet blankets.
Exactly.
Drinking wine and crochet is totally geeky. It's awesome.
That's it is fun. Pretty nerdy.
Yeah.
Okay, I will go to a different thing then. I have a thing to bring up that I thought was really interesting, and there were some things to talk about with it. There's a company that is making dolls for young girls, who they're marketed to anyway, but, you know, that are doing dolls that, like, for children with cancer, they do bold dolls, they do wheelchairs for dolls, they do... like, they do hearing aids for them. And basically, it's, like, a really... and, like, you can do dolls of different ethnicities and with different disabilities. And it's just this really nice company that's making really... that's doing a lot with, like, hey, everyone can have a doll that they can...
Yeah, it's about diversity.
Diversity, that's the word I was looking for. Like, there are some little problems with it where they're very much targeting it towards female audiences, and they're just being like, ah, it's girls, 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 girls. But it's really nice what they're doing. They're doing a lot more for diversity than any other company I've seen do that sort of thing, which I thought was
very
nice.
There are some gorgeous photos of girls in wheelchairs with their dolls in wheelchairs, and they've got a friend to be with them, and
there was a really sweet picture like that on the post about them, which was just as you said, it was the little girl in a wheelchair with her doll in a wheelchair. I was just like, that is heartbreaking. That's just so sweet. And
I think it is, it's, you know, I mean, as people, as you know, we're all pretty au fait with knowing how crappy children's toys can be. And it is, I mean, I hope they do well. You know, there's no telling, obviously, if they will do, if they will make it a success. But I mean, it's really important for all kids to know that they're normal.
Yeah.
And to know that there are other people out there like them, and that they're not alone. And it's not, you know, if whatever, however different you are to what is the norm of a doll, to know actually this is pretty normal and you can still enjoy yourself and be like that.
Yeah, that's definitely the argument I've been seeing a lot with Disney recently, you know, with Frozen coming out.
Yeah.
And
such a good film.
It is.
I love that.
I love it.
I do have to go and see it. Admittedly, Tumblr is doing most of the promotion for that, just because people are posting GIFs and things from that. So I have to see this film.
I did know the plot before I went to see it, which was kind of annoying, but
I don't think that ruins it in any way, though. It's still such a good...
No, it's still enjoyable.
Also... The fact that the what's the guy's name that runs the shop?
Olaf.
No,
Olaf is the snowman.
No. Hans.
Hans.
It's a German sounding name.
Hang on, I have the. I will find out.
Yeah, that guy. In his shop, when they cut away to the sauna, it's heavily implied that he has a husband, which is really sweet. And it's like, yay, there's quite possibly a gay couple in this film.
His name is Oaken.
Yeah, Wandering Oaken, that's his name.
Oaken, yes.
But it doesn't count as gay representation if you can miss if you can blink and miss it. Just gonna put that.
It's still very sweet though, is that they were just like,
it is,
oh,
it's sweet. It's, you know, it's a nice
the thing is
it's
that
a
whole
nice gesture. That but, whole film it doesn't count.
Yeah. That whole film can be read as one giant gay metaphor anyway, so it's fine.
Oh yeah, lesbian Elsa is my favourite headcanon.
Yeah, lesbian Elsa's wonderful. For anyone
it's
that doesn't
a really
know,
good thing. It's a really good film in terms of like sororal relationships as well, which is hugely popular at the moment with Hunger Games. And as I mean, as somebody who has a sister, I can tell you, you know, well, I mean, my sister has never actually turned anything into ice, but sororal relationships aren't easy, and it's something that gets ignored. And you know, we have like the Mean Girls narrative of women are so bitchy to each other, blah blah blah. And when you've got women that love each other, it's cool, it's nice, even though you know, sometimes my sisters suck like mine.
I did
my
love that that was
sometimes. But yeah.
Yay!
I did love that that was the payoff to the film, though, is that it's like, hey, you don't need a man to be happy. No, you got your sister, you are fine. You and your sister, you love each other, and that's wonderful.
Yeah, no, that was something that was, it's very much a big thing, I think, at the moment. And I think Hunger Games has sparked that to a degree. Oh, I've just fucked up my crochet. Sorry.
You shouldn't be doing those things while podcasting. That's the lesson you should learn.
Oh, I got to 600 though.
God. I have another thing that's about like representation and toys that I think is really sweet.
It's
I'm just going to read
Bowl thing.
This is no. This is a letter written by a 7-year-old girl called Charlotte, and I'm just going to read the letter like word for word.
Is it to Lego?
Yes, it is. You know which one I'm doing, yeah. Dear Lego Company, my name is Charlotte and I'm 7 years old and I love Legos, but I don't like that there are more Lego boy people and barely any Lego girls. Today I went to a store and saw Legos in two sections, the pink girls and the blue boys. All the girls did was sit at home, go to bed and shop, and they had no jobs. But the boys went on adventures, worked, saved people and had jobs, even swam with sharks. I want you to make more Lego girl people and let them go on adventures and have fun. Okay? ! Thank you from Charlotte Benjamin. Mm. And it's just the sweetest thing. And Lego have not responded, and I'm mad at that. They need
to respond. Is it real?
It is a genuine letter. I've been looking through this. There is a it has been confirmed as a genuine letter.
Oh, yay. Well, not yay. It's sad, but yay.
Well,
sad.
You know, it could turn into, like, the Sainsbury's one.
Giraffe bread.
The giraffe bread.
Yeah.
That's what I would like to see, ideally.
For anyone that doesn't know about giraffe bread, it was a small child wrote a letter to Sainsbury's about how tiger bread doesn't look anything like a tiger, and they want to rename it giraffe bread. Is that about right?
Yeah.
It's a very important cultural it's a very important cultural significance in the UK. Giraffe bread. Everybody should know about giraffe bread. Where were you when you heard about giraffe bread?
Well, the similar tack that I was just going to say is related to that. It has been a good week for children's toys because there was a competition of sorts. Unfortunately, I don't know the details, but for the Super Bowl, placing an ad during the Super Bowl last week. And it was won by a toy for girls, which encourages them to do engineering. So the advert has a bunch of girls with like these engineering toys running rampant in the streets. And there are other girls with kind of like their dolls' houses and things and kitchenettes and things. And they see all the girls running around with spatters and things. Just like, I want a piece of that action.
I've seen the advert. It is very like pink coded and it's very like these are the girls ones, but it is really nice to see an advert for engineering toys where it's like, hey, we're making engineering toys, but look, girls can play with them too.
But they build all the, they combine all the dolls' houses and things into a rocket.
Launch
it.
That's amazing. Oh god, it is amazing, and we need more things like that, and we need to get to a point where that's not a big deal because that's when the battle's won.
Yeah.
I have a really awful habit of being like, oh, it's because I'm a girl that I'm so like bad at maths and science and stuff. Like, if I'd been encouraged, I would be better. No, I wouldn't. I'm really, really terrible at maths and stuff like that. I could never
I do exactly the same. It's like, because no one ever encouraged me, so that's why I can't do maths.
Like, oh, it's everyone else's fault. This is dangerous.
We temporarily lost Gemma. I'm trying to get her back again.
She's overwhelmed by this newfound power that we have.
Yeah. You're not so excited. She's just.
You're not trying to sing to us in your head, are you?
No.
Because you know, singing does break the podcast.
I'm trying to emulate your power.
Not my singing.
Your singing's fine. It's when I sing.
My singing is beautiful.
Possibly when Gemma sings that it breaks the podcast. Oh, goodness. Right. What else have we got on the list?
One podcast should just be me singing karaoke.
If you want to sing some karaoke to like fill some time,
I'm down with that. Sing some karaoke. Go for
it. No, I'm okay.
Let's give you songs to sing. What do you fancy singing?
No, none. Maybe next week.
We'll hold you to that. We'll remember.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no maybe about it. Next week, you are opening the podcast by singing all of our intros.
Okay. Oh, thing is, we've made it sound like, oh, she's a really good singer. She's just shy. No, I really genuinely cannot sing.
You all heard me sing in the pilot before I broke the podcast.
It was beautiful.
It was wonderful.
Geek Stop Night In, the musical episode. Xena did it. Why not?
Sorry, I was putting crochet away.
Okay, that's fine. I can live with rustling if it's so that you can give us your attention. That's fine. Oh, goodness.
I'm making a blanket. It's going to be enormous.
It had better be a geeky blanket of some sort.
Oh, I just crashed into a bucket. it's just going to be a regular blanket. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I'm disappointed.
I'll burn it now. Because it's not going to be geeky.
Yes, you'd better.
How dare I?
Oh, something we haven't talked about yet that Kate wanted to bring up was cosplay tips. And I don't know if anyone other than me cosplays. Do Tilly and Gemma, do you either of you cosplay?
I used to.
I apparently do now by letting people wonder where I am. But otherwise,
default
no.
Default cosplay.
It's one of the things I've always wanted to get into, but I lack effort and time.
You can always buy them or steal them from other people.
Lassie's got loads. I'll just, put that out there.
I have way too many. I've made way too many.
What have you cosplayed as? What's your favourite that you've found?
Actually, my favourite one that I've worn was not one I made. It's one that someone else made, and I kind of refitted it to my dimensions. Let me try and find a picture to put in for those of you in the podcast. But it was a big suit of crystal armour. And
wow! Did you go as the Crystal Maze?
I wish I'd gone as the Crystal Maze. No, I went.
That sounds like what it should be.
I went as a video game character called Crystal Siegfried. I'm just going to try and find a picture. I thought it was rather an amazing costume. It was the most uncomfortable thing I've ever worn, though. But
Siegfried.
I have a picture.
Oh wow! Like, just looking at the pictures of it, that sounds... The fact that you made anything like that is amazing.
This was... I did a lot of repairs on this person's costume because they had... Someone gave me the bulk of this costume broken, and I had to put it back together. Oh.
Video game is it from?
From the Soul Calibur series. So, cool. Lots of fighting games. But I've just dropped a link if you want to see it in the podcast chat.
Oh, yeah, hang on, I've got to go and look, because I'm on my phone.
People making it awkward for me to show them things.
No, I've got it. Oh, wow. Is that a wig?
Yes, it is.
It's an amazing wig.
That's the most awkward, uncomfortable thing I've ever worn, because I warn you, if you ever want to cosplay something involving big suits of armour, it's really uncomfortable to do that. Suits of armour are super uncomfortable.
No, I've never cosplayed ever before, which is why I wanted to talk about tips. Because I think it's interesting cosplay, because it's basically fancy dress, but really hardcore.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. It's one of those, like, my favourite one is one I'm going to drop in here now, which is I did a white Power Ranger costume, which the thing I loved about that was I wore it to the MCM Expo in London, and, like, I couldn't get from one side of the convention
to the other.
I couldn't get across the convention without every 2 seconds people were asking and be like, oh, that's so amazing. Oh, can I take a picture with you? And that feeling made me feel so awesome that I was like, yep, I want to do more of this.
That's amazing.
I need to put some cosplay pictures in the show post, I think.
Definitely. Well, are you gonna cosplay if you come on Friday?
If I do, I would cosplay. I have no idea what I want to cosplay. I have too many cosplays and too few times to do them, and I don't know what I want to do.
Cosplay as me. Just, like, put a massive red wig on and be like, cosplay I know nothing you. About games. I'm Kate.
Oh, God, if I can find a curly red wig, I will at some point cosplay as you.
Well, everything I've ever planned to cosplay has been based around the fact that I don't want to wear a wig, so everything I will ever cosplay will be somebody with long red hair.
Oh, I love
wigs.
Which is
quite a rich canon, I think, actually. Quite a lot of redheads now.
Well, a lot of cat suits. Black Widow. Mainly Black Widow. yeah, which is, you know, if I ever went to a Comic-Con, I'd love to go as Black Widow.
You can't cosplay Felicia Day now. She's cut her hair.
Well, she can cut her hair, give it to Laura as a wig, and then Laura can cosplay as me.
I feel really bad. I'm just dropping cosplay pictures in here now.
I need to look. I'm excited.
I'm dropping in a cosplay picture I did for a sort of humanoid version of Rainbow Dash from My Little Pony. And
the first picture I saw of you, and I was like, wow, she has amazing hair.
That's the reason I love this cosplay, is because it has the most amazing rainbow-coloured wig that's just, like, my favourite wig ever, and I want my hair to always be like that. the other part is that you can vaguely see in this picture, I have rainbow-coloured jeans that Tilly managed to get for me from a charity shop, and they're
that's
my favourite trousers. They are the best trousers I've ever owned.
I like how you're nonchalantly using your phone alongside the doctor.
Oh, yes.
Nat, obviously. And is that somebody from Assassin's Creed in the background?
Yes, that's an Assassin's Creed person in the background. This is why I love conventions, because you can have Rainbow Dash, the Doctor, and an assassin all in one shot.
As you do.
She's rather wonderful.
On Friday, I am cosplaying as Boudicca, as I said. And so far, I have a great big swathe of tartan fabric. Which I've hemmed in. I actually had to do proper sewing, and I'm okay with the sewing machine, so I did that, and then I'm going to kind of drape it around me in the way that she actually would have worn it, which is quite cool.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you just go online and how do you tie it? It's called like a Doric shift on. I'm sure like loads of history nerds will be like, that's not how you pronounce it, but whatever, that's how I pronounce it. And then I've got to kind of sew myself into it on the day, but so far, so good. I'm just going to be cold and also covered in blue paint on the Northern Line.
Wonderful.
So, that should be fun.
There's one I really want to make, which is an OC that I got someone to paint for me once, which I'm going to drop a picture of the OC in the chat as well.
That being original character?
Original character, sorry. Which is a Dragon Knight character that someone designed for me.
That's the best picture I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. I got someone to design that for me, and I desperately want to make that costume sometime.
I don't know if anybody is like, I mean, I've been reading Game of Thrones at the moment, and like the history of Game of Thrones, like stuff that doesn't happen in the books but happened beforehand. And I don't know if anyone has read it, but there's a character called Visenya, who is the sister of like a dragon person, if that makes sense. And that is exactly what she should wear.
Exactly. And that's why I really like this design. But
that's amazing.
Again, onto the topic of, like, as you were saying, cosplay, making tips and things. I've made armor before, and armor making is something I know tips on, even if I'm not very good at it, but I know in theory how to do it, is something called craft foam, which is really thin, sort of just like flexible foam you can use. And then you back it with pieces of stuff called plasticard. And then you just kind of like make all your pieces out of that and spray paint them with metallic spray paint. And that's how I do armor. So, woo, cosplay.
That's
tips.
Really cool. I basically hemmed some fabric and I'm tying it around me with a belt.
I'm not very good at the sewing thing. I'm much better at either things that involve armor or weapons. Those
the I really want to cosplay at some point, maybe obviously not soon because it's going to take a while, but it's as Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones. Because again, long red hair, and like I was like, oh, I'll cosplay as Sansa and it'll be amazing. And I kind of looked at some costumes, and then I googled Sansa Stark cosplay, and there were these women in like these beautiful, beautiful gowns, and I was like, yeah, I've changed my mind. I could never be like that.
Oh.
And it's like they've sewed it from hand, and it's taken them months and months, and they've done it in like it's basically they're doing costume design, which people get paid, you know, hundreds of pounds to do for Game of Thrones, and they're just doing it for fun. It's amazing.
But people win lots of money doing competitions doing them. Like I went to watch the Euro cosplay competition a year or so back, where it's just all of the European conventions send their like two best cosplayers to do a big European basically Eurovision but for cosplay.
That's amazing. And Eurovision cosplay, two best things ever.
The best one I saw at one of those was someone who did this big character with these huge angelic wings that were like 12 foot tall and 8 foot wide. And they'd like hand feathered the wings over about 6 months. Just like hand doing all the feathers to like make these huge elaborate wings that they could somehow fold up. And they like literally just like pushed something and these wings like erupted out of them. And like
you would want to wear that around the shops, wouldn't
you?
Yeah. And just be like, hello, I have wings.
Good cosplays terrify me. I don't know how people do them. I struggle to make one mediocre one between conventions.
Some of the best ones, though, I think, are the kind of subtly cosplay-inspired ones, where it's not they're not actually dressed as the character. They've just, like, there's a thing called Disney Bound on Tumblr, which is people who go to Disney World in Florida, and basically they're not dressed as the character, but they've, like, all of their outfit is inspired by. So maybe if they're going as Ariel, they'll have, like, tight, you know, skinny jeans that are in that sort of aquamarine colour, and then, you know, a purple crop top over a vest. And it's really good to see sort of all the spectrums of it.
Yeah. Like, that's the reason I like my Rainbow Dash one so much, is that it is literally just a lot of it is things that could be general clothing, and then I just stuck some ears on with some rainbow coloured trousers, rainbow wrist things, rainbow hair, and a blue top.
The nice thing is that's a statement still that geeks pick up on.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
It's one of those things that's noticeable if you know what you're looking for. Otherwise, that's like, oh, that's a person a bit eccentrically dressed, but I don't know what they are. Oh, well.
I've never seen the opposite side of the scale. The friend I mentioned before did the Death Note cosplay. I saw the work in progress thing he had for a tank from Left 4 Dead that he took to MCM this year. So in his house, in like this sub room in the garage, it's just an entire tank torso made out of latex and foam. And just like,
it's amazing.
Yeah, that's a bizarre thing to see.
Tilly's sending me more pictures.
Are they God. A possum?
No, it's a dogs this time. There's two dogs looking off into the distance, and one's like, maybe if you went to bed early, you wouldn't be so tired. And the other one very slyly looks over at them, very annoyed, and is like, stop talking shit, Carl.
I like, I've never seen, I was in, okay, this is totally aside and you can cut this.
Oh, no,
I was in New Zealand and we went searching at like 2 o'clock in the morning for possums. And I don't know if any of you have been to New Zealand or anywhere that has zero light pollution, but when it gets dark, it gets really, really dark. And we were in this forest with this guy that would pet the tape like that day and we just went searching for possums.
Stop sending me pictures, Tilly.
No, fight me.
Possum love.
Oh goodness. Actually, just on a like a less jokey note on that, I absolutely love being in places with no light pollution and just looking at the stars, because it's terrifying but beautiful, because it's like, oh, this is beautiful. I feel so tiny and insignificant. I need to go inside.
I would recommend going to New Zealand then. We were in a camper van. And we went to this place that literally had no, we were the only people within about, I don't know, a 5K radius. And it was terrifying. And I went out to go and pee in a bush at about midnight. And I woke my friend up and was like, you have to see this. And there were 100 million stars that you could see. And we just kind of sat there for about 5 minutes like, wow. And then we went back inside because we thought there were going to be serial killers.
I did the same in New Zealand. And the problem was, is I sat out there for a few minutes and then I literally felt too small. And I was like... Nope, I can't deal with feeling this small in the universe. I need to go inside because I feel too insignificant. Oh.
No, I think that's the worst bit about London, is not being able to see stars. Wow, this is romantic.
Well, that's the nice thing about Stockholm, is you actually do get to see quite a few stars. It's such a small city that...
Oh, I'm going to Stockholm soon.
I don't know. We should meet.
Yes, sorry. We should. I'm going around Europe. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. Sorry, Laura, I'm not going to be able to do the podcast for a couple of weeks in March. Because I am in Europe, and I will be in Stockholm at some point.
Unless you go stay with Gemma and podcast from her.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I think I'll go there on a Sunday.
We'll find a way to make it work. Okay,
that's amazing. I mean, I might be able to get like Wi-Fi and like McDonald's or something, so I could podcast from McDonald's.
That's fine. We can make weeks work. We've got a big enough cast. We can, you know, make this work. Tilly, stop sending me pictures. She's sending me this little duck that's like really aggressively waddling toward a camera really fast and smiling. And it's like, let me love you.
Talking about the best things on the internet, have we all seen the digestives advert where the corgis come out of the packet of digestives?
No. Oh my God.
Oh my God. YouTube it. Just corgi digestives.
Oh God,
it's
can we watch this and react live on the podcast?
I can't because I don't have enough internet, but watch it and I will react to your reactions.
Now.
Yes.
Digestive.
I gather there's a way you can do this via Hangouts, but I've never worked it out.
We don't talk about Google Plus. Nobody understands it.
Are you watching? Oh my God!
Yes. Oh my God! Oh my God!
Oh my God!
And then they just cuddle them.
How did they fit so many puppies in that bag?
That's how they're born. That's how corgis are born.
Oh my God!
I'm obsessed with corgis. Like, my Kindle cover is a corgi. I'm obsessed with them.
That was so cute. I think I'm going to have a heart attack. Okay, I'm going to get, like, diabetes.
Just search so corgi digestive. Can we buy some digestives for the podcast?
Where's Alan Ciccone when you need him?
Oh, God.
If you got actual digestives, you'll be like, oh, what the hell? This is rubbish.
I should explain the Alan Ciccone thing there. Alan Ciccone is a guy that makes video games. Every event he ever goes to, he brings packets of biscuits and he gives everyone biscuits to play.
He bring corgi?
Yes.
I need to ask him to bring digestive next time in the hope that they, you know, fingers crossed, become corgis.
Because if he doesn't bring corgis, then I'm not interested in his shit, okay?
That's a new marketing method for him. Bring corgis to all of your events and give everyone.
Oh my God, like anybody could bring corgis and I would be like, okay, I would give them a pint of my own blood.
If he gives each of us a corgi, we'll let him have a space on the podcast.
Yeah, I prefer that than a pint of my own blood.
Yeah,
no, Alan... he can take blood and have my space on the podcast.
There's
one little baby corgi puppy.
He's not taking away our space. He'll join us, but as an extra. But you know, he has to give us all corgis first. If you're listening, Alan, if you're listening, you have to give us all corgis.
I want a corgi, and I'm going to call it Sir Digby Chicken Caesar. And my boyfriend is going to get a red setter called Seamus, and we're going to breed them together so that the corgi thinks it's a red setter, and the red setter thinks it's a corgi.
Okay, I think I have like one final topic for everyone, and a perfect final topic for everyone. If you were given a corgi right now and you had to name it, what are you naming your corgi?
Well, I wouldn't name it because I wouldn't get to keep it, would I?
No, you get to keep it. I'm giving you a corgi and you get to keep it. Ignore the rules.
Don't taunt me with these things, Laura, because I know it's not real.
What are you calling your hypothetical corgi?
Mr. Fluffy Pants.
Clive.
Clive? No, so Digby Chicken Caesar is the best name.
God damn it, you stole mine.
It's I'm definitely going to use that.
Peep Show, yeah?
Is yeah.
It, or That Mitchum yes. Weblog. And I have a pet rabbit called Brundle, who's named after Martin Brundle, the racing driver. But when I got him, I was thinking about calling him Sir Digby Chicken Caesar. My sister said, yeah, that's a great name. And then we both looked at each other like, where did this name come from? And we couldn't remember where it was from. So we were like, did we just invent this name? Like, what? But of course it's not. But I love that name. And I think everybody should have a corgi called Digby.
You stole my good name. So instead, I'm going to call my corgi Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime. What would you call it for short?
Can I call mine Megatron?
Yes!
Oh, they can hang out!
Yes, Optimus Prime and Megatron.
Opti, like Megatron. Opti. Get off Optimus Prime. Stop that.
What would you call them for short?
Opti and...
Opti?
Mega? Yeah, I'm trying to shorten Optimus Prime for a shorter...
If it was if it was a girl dog, you could call it Prim. Prime, Primmy, Prime. Prim.
I'd probably go with Timmy for Optimus Prime.
Timmy and Tron.
Yeah, Timmy and Tron.
Now you've made the link between Transformers and Corgi, I'm thinking of the car, the model cars. So I'm thinking Vauxhall Astra.
You would get a Corgi. You would get this
Corgi
called
Astra.
Beast.
I don't want my Corgi to call Astra.
Astra is kind of cool, but do not like shame the breed of Corgi by calling your Corgi Vauxhall.
And on
I feel quite strongly about Corgis.
on that note, I think we should go toward the end of the podcast. That's a sentence I can make. So everyone, let's go around. What are you looking forward to in the next week? That's a good way to end this. Gemma, what are you looking forward to?
I'll be looking forward to Animex Festival tomorrow up in Middlesbrough. It's I'm only attending the game bit of it, but it's held at University of Teesside, and we're doing Ladycade there.
Which I'm really annoyed that I can't make it to Ladycade, because that's the second Ladycade I've missed now, and I'm really annoyed. For those who don't know what it is, it's like a women's-centric gaming event that runs alongside a couple of other gaming things. And like men are allowed there, and it's welcoming to men, but it's also like...
Sorry, I just threw a lighter in my own face, and now my boyfriend is laughing. Shush.
Sorry.
Anyway, yeah.
Sorry.
Safe space gaming thing for women and ladies and people and stuff.
Yeah. Hooray. So we're doing that this time tomorrow night, and... Yeah, not this time. Oh, I'm still on Stockholm time and flights and things. Yeah.
If you want to pay for my travel both ways, I will come and come to Ladycade. I have no money, but if you pay my travel, I'll come.
Oh,
it's not that far to walk, is it?
Anyway, awkwardly segueing away. Tilly, what are you looking forward to this week?
Hello.
Tilly.
Tilly, we love you.
We've got
Tilly.
Corgi.
Can you hear me now?
We do.
The Corgi's back. Am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
See, singing. You just have to sing the grandma song.
That's how we get people back to this podcast. Insert name, we love you. Insert name, we do. So yeah, Tilly,
I hit the mute button with my cheek.
Aww. Okay. What are you looking forward to this week?
Well, I'm going to come see you this week, so that's very exciting.
Yeah, you are, and I'm going to make you play Octodad and be an octopus.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that can be my nerdy thing that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to go play...
Be a secret Octodad. Undercover octopus dad human person. That's your nerdy week.
Yeah.
Hooray. Kate,
I'm sure you'll make me do plenty of nerdy things.
Yeah, just a few. It's fine. We'll watch some Supernatural as well, so it's all fine. It'll balance out.
It'll be okay.
Okay. Kate, what are you up to this week, or what are you excited about?
Well, two things. First of all, obviously, the launch of my site, The Geek Agenda, which, as I have said, and I will say again, you are all invited to and should all come to. If you want more information about it, for anyone, it's all on the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheGeekAgendaUK. So yeah, I'm really excited about that, but also stressed as hell about it. But also, I'm going to my first press conference on Tuesday, and George Clooney is going to be there. I'm not going to say anything, because I figured for my first conference I should just sit, listen and learn. But if I get the chance to take a coffee off him and then yell, George Clooney's in there, and steal his coffee, like in the advert, I promise you I will take it.
Okay.
I will do it for the podcast.
Right. We want to hear all about it next week.
Yes.
Also, Matt Damon is going to be there, but George Clooney.
Okay, that's fine. You have to record yourself running up to him and making the thing
coffee
from...
Coffee joke.
No, with Matt Damon, the thing from Team America.
No, I can't do that. That's so rude.
No, you're not going to run up to him and be really rude and just shout, Matt Damon.
Wait, because you know the reason they have that?
I don't know the reason, actually.
It's
I'd be interested to know.
Because Matt Damon was like friends with the guy who wrote Team America, and Matt Damon was supposed to have a character in it, like a fully, he was supposed to be a part in it, and he was going to voice himself. But they had this whole joke about how people run up to him in the street and just go, oh my God, Matt Damon, Matt Damon, and just say his name. And it just became this joke. So the idea is that he now runs around and says his name.
interesting things I learned this week. Okay, what am I doing?
Fact of the week for the podcast.
Woo. What am I doing this week?
To the party.
I'm seeing Tilly, which I'm really excited about because I haven't seen Tilly in too long. And that's going to happen. And I'm excited. She's going to be here for days. And that's good.
Yeah, I'm going to be here all week. It's going
to
be great.
Yeah, you are.
Then you definitely both have to come.
I have an essay due in on Friday, so I have to be back in Bath.
No,
right. You live in Bath?
Yeah, I live in Bath.
Well, I live in London, but I also live in Salisbury at the same time.
Okay.
So
Salisbury
they're like the same
place in London, yeah.
It is.
Anyway, nerdy things I'm doing. Don't interrupt me. I have things
Sorry.
To share. Yeah.
We're going to hang out. Screw you. Bath, Salisbury. Yeah. Woo!
I wrote a thing for Tilly. That it's a song for Valentine's Day, which she's going to get to hear this week, and I'm excited about her getting to hear that. And I might like share it with the podcast if she's okay
with that,
just to be like, "Hey, this is the thing I made. Yeah, enjoy that."
I'm so up for that. Do that.
Yeah, so that everyone can hear my awkward singing for like a whole 3 minutes in the podcast.
Yay!
It might never work again.
Oh God, would that permanently break the podcast?
Break iTunes.
And then, oh God. And lastly, tomorrow morning or yesterday morning, because time travel, and this is going up on Tuesday, so I'm talking about Monday, which is tomorrow, but it will be yesterday for you. Time travel, woo. I'm writing my first post for the Geek Agenda.
Yay! Excuse me, I'm your editor. Should you not tell me about this? Run it past me?
This is what I was going to say, is I have like 5 different things I want to pitch to you. So as soon as this podcast is over, I'm going to send you pitches. I'm pretty sure that at least one of them you're going to like, and whichever one you end up liking, I'm going to write tomorrow or yesterday.
Well, I'm really pleased. I do like a sneak peek for something that we're going to have on the Geek Agenda?
Go on, go ahead. Pimp your thing.
One article that we're going to have that I'm writing is Why You Should Love Sansa Stark. Which I think is going to be groundbreaking and very important.
Ooh, I want to read that one.
Because she is literally my favourite person in the entire world, even though she doesn't exist, but whatever. It's like minor details. Yeah. Another thing we are having is why is the horror film genre inherently conservative? Dun, dun, dun. Deep going on. Just like deep thought. Okay, we're going to blow your minds. And another one is... Well, these are just the features. We're going to have reviews and news pieces going up. But another one we're having is about women in historical fantasy. And I realised I should have finished on like a really exciting one rather than quite an academic one. But I don't care. So never mind.
Hooray. Now, I'm ready. Gemma, has your recording program worked the whole way through this episode?
It seems to have done so, yes.
Woo!
That's really good because mine crashed literally now. And I really don't trust this computer. It only does it for this podcast. So thank goodness you're recording. Phew.
Yes,
I'm going to need you to send me. Yeah, I will need you to send me that in a minute.
I can help record on some weeks, but most of the time on a Sunday, I come to my boyfriend's on the tour bus, which if you come to the party, you might be able to see. So I'm usually on my headphones, so I can't really help record.
That's cool. Anyway, we should all go. But thank you for joining us, everyone. I hope you've had fun listening to our nerdy ramblings. And
well, we've definitely had fun talking on nerdy ramblings.
Yes, even if no one listens to this, I think it's still worth doing because
it's
have a great
definitely
time.
Definitely still worth doing.
It's the highlight of my week. So
my mum will probably listen to it.
Okay. Well, hello, Kate's mum, and we'll talk to you all next week. Bye.
Bye.